Shalom, friends. This is your friendly neighborhood podcast host, Jake Rubin. Welcome to MSU Hillel's The Weekly Kvetch. This podcast features news, interviews, and a whole lot of kvetching. So, I'm excited for you to join me and my trusty producers, Sophie and Nate, as we dive deep into all things Jewish.
Hello, and welcome back to The Weekly Kvetch. I remain your host, Jake Rubin, and alongside my producers, Sophie, Nate,
hey,
and MSU Hillel, we are super excited to bring you this week's guest, Lee Trepek, who is the CEO, the newly promoted CEO, and the former director of Camp Moss of Tamarack. Welcome, Lee. It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Jake. It is an absolute pleasure to join you along with Nate and Sophie. Sophie, who I've known for many, many years. And when she called and offered the opportunity to participate with both of you, I jumped with the honor of being on the Weekly Kvetch. So thank you.
Of course. We're so excited. But before we get started, we do have a quick word from our sponsors. So let's hear what our word is today from our sponsors.
The Weekly Kvetch is sponsored by MSU Hillel, the place to be for more than 3,500 Jewish students at MSU. The Weekly Kvetch is also sponsored by Tamarack Camps, the greatest place on earth.
Awesome. What a great word from our sponsors. And now we have our first segment. Let's give them something to kvetch about. So what are we kvetching about today? What is it?
Well,
you got it, Sophie.
You know what? We're going to bring it back to we did in episode one and kvetch about the weather again. Because you know what? It's always changing, you know?
Yes.
It's always there, you know, going to bother us either that or, you know, enlighten us, you know, like it's nice right now, like 60 something degrees outside, but like last week it was 30 something and rainy and gross, which was gross.
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky enough to live in the most temperamental state in the history of the universe, but yeah, you know, it was crazy. I went outside yesterday and I was like, oh my God, like I'm wearing shorts right now and a t-shirt. Like I feel like, you know, I'm still living my summer dreams and I'm living right now. It's so nice out. I love this.
It's supposed to get to 70, I think, by the weekend.
What?
Yeah.
I'm going to go out to the beach, man. Don't test me. I see the red cedar. I can see the red cedar from my apartment, and I want to take a swim just for fun.
I wouldn't swim
just
in that.
To do. Probably like I'll grow a third eye or something.
But I do think it's really important to discuss this, which is that we are fully able. I am also in shorts right now. Mm-hmm. Viewers or listeners, you can't see it, and I can't get my leg high enough to show everyone. But I am in fact wearing shorts right now, and so it's fun because and fun in like a criticizing snarky way, it's really fun because I was able in fact to put all of my shorts away for the winter and then I had to pull them all back out. And there's also shoes that I don't wear during the winter, had to pull those back out. And so now my bedroom, which I keep very clean because I believe the cleaner the bedroom, you know, the overall better quality of sleep that you have. That's what they all say. Of course, as a sleep expert, here I am, just kidding. But my bedroom is now a complete disaster because there's like winter coats strewn all over the place and there's shorts all over the place and all these shoes everywhere. And so I get it, like, okay, totally, like you could clean your room, Nate, and then everything would actually be completely fine, but I don't want to because who knows what's going to happen.
Exactly.
And I don't think I should be penalized for that by the weather not being able to figure it out.
True.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, these shorts I couldn't find. So I literally did the same thing. I had to dig through my cupboard and I threw shirts everywhere. Luckily, my room is in an okay condition right now, but I definitely feel like I'm going to need to put these shorts away again. And it's so frustrating because I just put them away too. So like, I really do feel your pain. I'm like,
I'm not wearing shorts right now. I might put them on later.
I think it's really important to also mention that we don't, and here at the Weekly Kvetch, we are not medical experts. We do not make any claim, you know, no way. But I think that if it goes cold, then warm, then cold, then warm, and we flip-flop all over the place, people are going to get sick.
Yes.
There's just going to be that seasonal cold that goes around. Well, then here's where it all gets interesting is, do we then think that our seasonal cold that is affected and created by the weather change, do we think that's COVID? Right. And then do we then make all the COVID testing lines even longer by people who actually only have a cold? And like, what happens here, right? The masks, I think, are great. We here at the Weekly Kvetch are pro-mask. Masks are great because they keep all the sneezes inside. Uh-huh. But then what happens when you, I don't know, take the mask off, right? Do you have COVID? Do you not? Who knows? Yeah. It's a conundrum, let me tell you.
It is a conundrum.
Yes. We do not listen to future and have our masks off. We have our masks on.
There was a whole Jake rant about it. Masks are important. You better wear them.
And you didn't hear it here first, folks. You heard it here maybe like the 100 millionth time you've heard it, but you did hear it
yes.
here.
That's right. Don't you forget it.
So I think we're in agreement. We are pro warm weather, mm-hmm. but we are pro warm weather in a big block from summer to whenever winter decides. And then we are pro winter being its own season that does not have any flip-flopping
yep.
weather.
I mean, I would just be happy with just pro warm weather all the time.
Honestly,
you
same.
Know, but you know, you got. I'll take what I can get at this point. Honestly.
There we go.
All right, and that was our segment. Let's give them something to kvetch about. Thank you. All right, so Lee, so tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, about your position, about your history, how you ended up where you are. We just love to learn more about your journey.
I'd be happy to. My journey started when I was a young camper at 7 years old, beginning my first experience at sleepaway camp. And I remember getting off the bus on a big giant field and a person coming up to me, helping to take me on the walk from the parking lot to the cabin. Turned out to be my counselor. When I asked him the question, do you love me? His answer was yes. And aww. Today I feel the gratitude of someone saying, you're embraced comfortably and sweetly and nicely into this new world called camp. And my journey continued for 10 years as a camper and staff member. At the same time that I left camp, I remember saying, someday maybe I'd be back, but I didn't know in what role. In the interim, Jake, I'd gone away to school at undergrad at U of M and then took on graduate school where I studied the law. And after leaving Cleveland, Ohio, where I learned in graduate school, I came back home to Michigan, where I'm from, and began my work professionally a short time in a law office that led me to a family business. We were in the Burger King business and worked with various locations in the Metro Detroit area. We sold our company and I'd gotten involved further in real estate, which I never recognized at the time, but all of those backdrops, the law, a business, the customer service business, the restaurant business through Burger King, and then the real estate business all sort of had this combined connection into the work that I took on in my years as working as a camp director. And I came to that in a very unusual way. And I'd be happy to share that story if you're—
Please, yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Sure, I would tell you that in my background, as I said, I left camp and said, maybe someday I'd be back, but I didn't really know how or even if. What happened was I met the executive director of Tamarack Camps at the time, whose name was Jonah. And we were in a recreational bowling league together. Wow. As I was holding a bowling ball and ready to take my turn, he had come up to me and said, how would you be interested in directing Camp Moss? And my answer was yes, but I thought he was kidding. that he was serious. We spent hours that night from the lanes to a restaurant where we talked about what that kind of opportunity could look like. I didn't sleep that night. I came home, woke up my wife and said, oh my God, I wonder if camp could be a part of my future. And it did. I began with a very special opportunity to take on the role as the director of Camp Moss. And I didn't have any professional camping experience, 0 minutes. But I did have 10 years as a camper and staff member that never left my mind or even my soul. And again, I just didn't know that it would ever come back to it. I was lucky enough that my family was excited about the opportunity. So I'll end my background part by saying my wife, Robin, and I, keeping this full circle, met at camp as kids. When I shared with her and came home, oh my God, maybe there's an opportunity for camping professionally. She jumped with the thought. And as we were raising our children, who were 6 and 4 at the time, we really concluded as a family that this felt like a great opportunity, which motivated me. Family to me is the core and the foundation of what has allowed me to feel so fulfilled from a family side and then from a professional perspective that we're really in the camping program together. And so it's a long answer to my backdrop, combining really the beginning parts through camp and educationally and professionally and family, all sort of playing a part in that backdrop.
Wow. What a journey. Burger King, bowling. And that's nice because like you talked about the family and I think like being at camp probably, you know, just like the kids are also part of, it's like a big ever-growing family. So that's really nice how it all just, that was a really interesting thing. So, you know, so Tamarack, it means a lot to you, Tamarack and Camp Moss. So what do you think the importance is of incorporating like a Jewish lens in something that is normally secular, like camp, and like making, how does that help the experience even more? Like,
sure, you know, we say a lot, and it's a tagline which really means a lot to me. Two words: welcome home. We say it all the time. I just saw Sophie smile because to me, home is community. It's inclusivity. It's the sensitivity of being comfortable and being who you are, and having the opportunity to grow and maintain your independence all along this journey called home. And so when you ask me about Tamarack and what does it mean through this Jewish lens, it's spiritual in the recognition of those really important terms. You are home, welcome home. And that is the spirit of really how hard we work to drive home, community, and that your voice matters and it counts and that you're included and that in whatever way you feel comfortable coming home, you're embraced sensitively and kindly and nicely. And that hopefully gives our campers and staff members the chance to grow and maintain their own independent belief of what's important to them individually and that will support
that. Yes, and yes to all those.
That's really nice. And I think it's really cool, especially the fact Tamarack, it seems like such an important piece of like Jewish Michigan just life, you know, because growing up, everyone I know went to Tamarack. I went to Tamarack. I did 10 days at DeRoy.
By the way, Jake, in your years, it was called DeRoy. Today,
oh, it changed?
DeRoy. And so we continue to evolve and learned even more about our history years later. And so in the years you went, I'm sure some things have changed, but something probably similar, which is Tamarack is a community space. And I love that's a part of your backdrop also.
Yeah. And you know, my brother, he did Western in Alaska. And so like, it's just a really important part. So I just wanted to thank you again for just really bringing a lot of joy and happiness to these kids' lives. So they probably really appreciate it.
Before we go further, thank you for being a part of our tradition. One of the things I loved when I started was learning even more about the backdrop of this jewel. I did not grow up at Tamarack camps, but as a member of this community, I love when I have the chance to learn from people that have been a part of the Tamarack community directly, you as an example and your family. And that's what creates these really strong bonds and is so motivating in my job. It's embracing that tradition and knowing how much it matters to people that maybe I had never even met before, but that are connected and involved and spiritually still whole. I hope by way of the experiences that they had the chance to enjoy when their time was at camp.
That's really nice. It's just, you know, camp is just so special to so many people. And it's just, it's really just the highlight of summers. And yeah, it's just nice. Yes, 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 yes.
Maybe I can add, Sophie, I'm glad you did. Maybe I could add yes. And not even just in the summer, the mm-hmm. spirit that we get year round, and we're creating more and more and working toward more and more ongoing daily in many regards ways to connect with our community, that it maybe is anchored within the summer months, but it sprouts throughout the course of time during that school year. And we work hard to maintain ongoing communication with our families, our staff members, our campers, follow their trajectory, learn about their lives. And so by the time we're back in the summer, we're home again, but we didn't disconnect from home at the end of a summer until we returned. We maintained these relationships. It's like a story that puts a period and then a dot, 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 because it really it continues and flows throughout the course of those months that aren't even driven by the summer activity.
It's just never changing. Yeah. Well, I just want to say Mazel Tov, you're recently promoted to be the CEO. So do you have any new goals, any things that are really driving you right now? Some fun changes that sure. people can look forward to?
That's a great question. You know, we talk all the time about social justice causes mm-hmm. and working toward the things that matter in this world and finding space in our agency to further Tikkun Olam, repair the world, and to maintain that on an ongoing basis. Again, the summer can be a part of it. We're working hard to see where that can be a thread month to month and ongoingly as a really important mission to do good in the world and make this world a better place. If Tamarack can continue to be a part of that story, then that's very motivating to me. And we can find those ways, I think, by collaborating with community members and leaders that share in that mission to create and further positive engagement and have people tell their stories and motivate someone else then to stand up even taller within their own story. Jake, you're an example of this. Alumni and engage our alumni. That's a real important mission that I bring to this job in this pandemic. We found something that we talk about a lot, which is how can we embrace a situation and make something good from bad? Mm-hmm. Frankly, alumni was an example of that. We had this great alumni reunion planned at the end of the summer months for the summer of 2020. We couldn't do it. But what we found is we could engage our alumni in different ways. And alumni stood up and created Euchre tournaments and they created programs. And we engaged our outpost programs and people from the Brighton community and people from early, early years that joined calls. And by Zoom, we were connected suddenly around the world. And where we would have had this awesome turnout at camp at the end of the summer, we expanded our turnout. It wasn't the same that we weren't in person, but in many ways you could say maybe it was even brighter because more screens lit up around town. And again, as I said, truly throughout the world. And the story of Tamarack was told even more as your CEO, because you're a part of it. That's part of my goal is to continue to share the message and spread the message and engage. And I feel I have to add just a couple more notes if you're asking sure. for goals.
Of course.
That something would never change, which is our mission to get kids to camp. Scholarship is a critical part of our cause, offering children the opportunity to know sensitively that they came to camp with the community's support. And how important it is that we work so hard to expand those offerings. And it takes a lot of work by a lot of committed people to raise those necessary dollars as the CEO in this organization. My goal is to further that, continue it, and find even more dollars in these very difficult, unsettling times. I'm nervous about the economic hardships that people are going through and have to endure. And I really want to be part of a solution that says, camp is going to be here for you. And that beautiful message of scholarship and the opportunity to join continues. And then we can all embrace tradition, and we could find ways to move forward together with newfound success. Every child matters, every camper counts, and we want to continue to find the resources available to bring those kids home. And we say, Sophie knows this expression too, to the greatest place on earth. I really feel that. I say it a lot, and I really feel it. By the way, it's not just Ortonville. It's our outpost camps at Kennedy and Agri. It's Western and Alaska. It's Israel. It's home. In whatever area of Tamarack Camps you land, that becomes to me a feeling of, this is the greatest place on earth that can embody the things that matter so much in earth. It's not always easy. My goal as CEO is not to duck when it's difficult, but to stand up even taller and keep figuring out the ways that Tamarack can matter importantly to people in their own lives, and that we could be an anchor to that. Those are some of many goals as I look forward to this new opportunity.
That's very, very exciting for you. Well, before we wrap it up, I just wanted to ask you a very simple, but I think very interesting question. What is your favorite part about camp?
The people. The relationships. Sophie is an example. I just looked at her again on screen. It's the people that make a difference. You know, I started and said, I knew Sophie, that's an example as a camper. And to have what I say, I've written about this a lot, the front row seat to the greatest stories in the world, growth, people taking on meaningful jobs and just being a part of it and seeing the camper that was nervous to stand on stage and perform, and then to be invited to a performance of that camper as she matures through the world and see that camp was a part of that story. The camper that jumped into the lake and was nervous to swim and splashed away all the way across from one side to the other, maybe even in last place. But when the camper completed the journey, it was like an Olympic gold medal. Those are true stories, actually, just leaving names out of
it. Wow.
Of the things that I'm going to miss. It's the stories, it's the people, it's the families, it's the day-to-day front row seat to the presence of life unfolding. But I do want to say this, where I'm going to miss it so much in that day-to-day interaction, I am excited that I will still be at camp in the summer, that I work with a great team that's been part of it with me, that we continue these stories. And my goal is not to abandon those stories. It's to just work within them, perhaps in a different way. But that's a part that I loved about my experiences as the director. I've been humbled to be in that job for almost 12 years.
Wow.
I'm not looking for the joy of that to change. It just sort of shifts, I think. And then I'm joined by so many others that I work with. That take on that spirit with the same passion and the same excitement. And I'm honored that I will continue to work with so many people that have been part of it with me, albeit where the steps of the responsibility shift perhaps a little, but they don't go away because we're all sort of anchored to this feeling of camp. And that part I never want to change. It's why I took on this job in January of 2009, and that passion of it has continues. To be a part of what guides me going forth day to day professionally. And as I said, with my family, very important parts of the story and the evolution of the work we do.
Well, that's so nice. I think, you know, the people make nerdy reference, but in the Thor movie, right? Thor 3, their Asgard gets blown up, and you know, everybody's kind of freaking out, but what they say is that Asgard, you know, it isn't a place, it's the people. It's you know, Asgard, we don't need Asgard, you know. Tamarack is there, but it's really the people and the counselors and the campers and everybody that just makes it.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Yes, I agree, Sophie. And through the years, this is a real example of something we feel. We have gone into villages and areas of camp, and we have built new structures, new program areas. And we're really sensitive to exactly what you said, which is the recognition that the old building, maybe that went away to a degree. And maybe it's not the same old building, but you know what still lives? The same feelings, the same memories, because it is the people that made that home sacred, not necessarily the walls within. Maybe we modified them because we felt like we could create better ventilation, or we could make it more comfortable, or create a bigger living space, or maybe add on a porch on the outskirts of the building and create another gathering space. But where we took something away, we added something else. And I say this a lot too, we're embracing tradition and moving forward in mindful ways. But the thing that never changes, it's exactly what you said. It's the place, it's the memories that you had within that place that tie you to DeRoy campers coming this year for 10 days or 24, to the years that you were there many years previously. Even if the cabin looks different, the home and a sacred feeling of being within that home, that's not the part that changes, actually. It still endures. It's a really important part, what you just said, of the message. And that's a part of the people. And that's why we have to keep training, and we have to keep working, and we have to keep finding ways to get people to camp so that they could be there even more comfortably in today's standards and not lose the simplicity of what life offers, which is community living at its best when you're there with the best people in the world in an environment that is not really about the buildings. It is really about the people that fill them and walk the grounds.
That was beautifully said. Well, I just wanted to say thank you again for coming. It is a pleasure. All right, and now we are going to hear our 20-second Torah. Take it away.
It's time for 20-second Torah. Hi, I am Rabbi Jenna Stein-Turo, and this is 20-second Torah. This week's Parsha is Vayera. One poignant story of many in this Parsha is the destruction of Sodom. God destroys the city because it is filled with wicked people, but Lot and his family are saved. However, Lot's wife is turned into a pillar of salt when she looks back as they leave, because she did not give salt to guests in her home. Her punishment is a reflection of her wickedness in life. She acts salty and turns to salt. Her story teaches us that the way we act reflects who we are, and vice versa. We have to choose our actions wisely so they reflect the good we want to put into the world.
Wow, thank you for that 20-second Torah. Very, very exciting as usual. And now we're going to go into my favorite part of the podcast, the bit where I rant about something. So what am I going to rant about today? Well, let me tell you, I am busy this semester. I am very busy. I have applications to grad school. I have, I'm in four classes, and I have never been busier my entire life. It's getting to the point now where I have something going on every single day of the week. Monday nights, I have improv. Tuesday nights, I have JLF with Hillel, which is a very nice program, and I highly recommend it. Wednesday, I have improv. Thursday, I have... I'm directing a sketch comedy show, and Friday I have open, and then I'm recording the podcast, and I also have classes, and it's just getting to the point where now I have like no free time, and I'm like, oh, what's happening? But here's the thing. I love it. I would not trade this for anything else. I love being busy. It gives me something to do, but at the same time, I love complaining about it. Cause I'm like, oh man, I'm so busy. But like, I've had times where one or more of those events are canceled, and I just sit there. And I'm like, what do I do with my time now? You know, like I'm just so used to just being on a time crunch that it's just making me so much more anxious all the time. So what is going on with me right now, other than the fact that I'm awake at all hours of the time, and now I'm like super energetic, and then I'm going to crash later and I'm going to fall asleep, is that I'm taking four classes, 12 credits, not a lot of credits. That's like just enough to be considered to be a student. And I'm so busy, so busy with these classes, man. And I have a paper due in every single one of my classes this week. It's like all my professors got together in their little secret shadow society and they said, how can we give Jake a even more stressful week? Papers, all these classes. I have an 8-page paper due. I have a 4-page paper due. I have a 3-page paper due, and I have a 2-page paper due. The good thing is, though, I'm such a great student. I have done 2 out of the 4 papers already.
That's good.
But I know, look at me go. Because I like to keep my weekends open, which is funny because I'm so busy all the time. I try to work all throughout the week so that I can just relax on the weekend. So my goal is to finish these 2 papers by Friday night, which I don't know if I'm going to actually be able to do, but that's my goal. I can throw it out in the universe, and if the universe bounces it back to me and I catch it in my universe brain, then who knows? But yeah, so I'm just kind of all over the place right now. This is a very like chaotic moment for me in my life, in my senior year. I have grad school. I have and I have to write those grad school applications. Oh my gosh. Whew. And then there's some like virus going around. I don't know, man. I'm just trying to live. It's a fun time. And I try to watch TV too. I started watching this show on Netflix about it's like a Greek mythology anime. It's so cool. I can't recommend it enough. It's called Blood of Zeus. But like, I shouldn't be watching it. I should be doing a million other things. And I'm cleaning my room and I'm cleaning my bathroom. I'm doing everything but the work I need to do. So it's just like, I'm keeping myself busy. I'm always doing something. So odds are, if I'm ever texted by anybody or if I'm ever called by anybody, I'm always doing something. So I'm just busy.
Busy bee.
Busy, busy, busy. Yeah. So, yeah. So that was my rant about how being busy is a terrible thing, but also the thing I crave most in the world. It's a fun dichotomy, and that's my life. Thank you. But before we completely wrap it up and end everything, we do have a segment called L'chaim of the Week. So what we do for this, we say something that we're looking forward to, and then we kind of do like a little toast to it. Yeah, so something you're looking forward to, something that's exciting. For me, I have a lot of papers due this weekend. I have like 4 of them, and I'm just really looking forward to finishing those papers and just relaxing because I really need the time to relax. What about you, Sophie?
Today, I tried the new bubble tea place on Grand River. It's really good. The cups are really cool, too.
Well, that's good. What about you, Nate?
This weekend, actually, my friends and I rented a house in the very, very tip of the Lower Peninsula of Michigan, and we're going to have like a phones off, like no technology, just like hang out, you know, kind of do nothing weekend.
Yeah.
After a lot of mixtures of like work related stuff and like midterms for grad school and like all everything else that's happening in this country. So I'm really excited for that.
Well, that sounds like a really needed adventure. And then what about you, Lee?
You know, from a personal perspective, it is my wife's birthday on Friday. I am looking forward to another celebration together. Yeah. My wish for many, many more healthy returns that we can continue to enjoy.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, thank you again for coming, Lee. It was an absolute pleasure. Before we end, though, do you want to give a quick like plug about Tamarack and how people can find more info if they don't know anything about Tamarack, or like how do they know more about Camp Moss? And
I'm happy to. Before I do that, I want to give a plug to Hillel at Michigan State. You're awesome. And this is where community grows and leaders thrive. And people respond. And I have great respect for the work of the three of you and what you've put forth. And I appreciate that Tamarack, the plug to it is that we're a part of the shared story, the collaboration, the ability to raise awareness and promote good and well-being throughout the world. I think the three of you are a part of that in a very special organization. So my plug begins with a tip of my hat to you and to your work. And then I'll give a plug that Tamarack Camp continues, even in the face of these difficulties. Please continue to reach out to us. We are available online. We are available by phone. We are available to your convenience, to the community's needs, to continue to work hard to deliver excellent camping experiences and manage these very difficult times in healthy ways that we could still see camp as a part of it. And so thank you for giving me the chance to add that and for being part of your story. I'll add another L'chaim to you, to the three of you, to good health, to keep staying well, and to keep up your really great work. This was my honor to join the three of you. And Sophie, I'll say it was a pleasure to be interviewed by Jake and Nate to meet you prior. And Sophie, thrilled that you'd reached out to me and asked if I would join your group.
Well, thank you. I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth, but you reversed them on me. Well, the honor is all ours. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on, and we hope that you have a good day, listeners. All right. Bye. Thank you.
And that's our show. Thanks for kvetching with us this week. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review and call a friend to tell them you love them. The Weekly Kvetch is hosted by me, Jake Rubin, and our executive producers are Sophie Dwoskin and Nate Strauss. This podcast is a production of MSU Hillel. Yalla bye, my friends.